ExxonMobil's downstream gasoline refining and retail division had produced and sold ethanol for years, and its technicians scoffed at the idea that it would be possible to produce anything like 36 billion gallons commercially by 2022. The corporation's strategic research partners at Stanford University noted, too, that all of the energy and all of the biomass on Earth is only 6 times greater than the total energy used worldwide. It would be hard, therefore, for plant-derived fuels to produce a dramatic change in energy production patterns, no matter how great the technological leaps forward. Still, plants did produce liquid fuels, which were convenient for transportation use, and humankind had already learned how to farm, so there was at least the potential for a transformational surprise. In Irving, strategic planning turned to the corporation's biomedical sciences laboratories in Clinton, New Jersey, to head the review. Its scientists were asked to start with the most basic questions, familiar though some of them might seem. What is the science? What are the relevant technologies? Who are the leaders in the field? We pulled together a pretty high-powered team to look at literally all of the biofuel options, recalled Emil Jacobs, the vice president of research and development at ExxonMobil's engineering division. They evaluated 4 factors. One was the ability to scale a fuel, that is, to produce enough volume to have a meaningful impact on American or global fuel markets. Second, they dug into specific technical challenges facing innovators in each fuel type. Third, they reviewed environmental impacts, such as land use, water use, carbon dioxide emissions, and other byproducts. Finally, they analyzed cost and economic factors. They concluded that Congress's ethanol mandates were a fantasy. Globally, because of efficiencies available to sugar-producing countries such as Brazil, ExxonMobil forecasted production of 40 to 50 billion gallons of biofuels annually within 2 decades. Even so, that would amount to no more than about 3% of total oil production. In the United States, the 35 billion gallons, the approximate federal mandate, you can't do it, and there is no technology that can get you there in the time frame ordered by the government, Ken Cohen, the corporation's public affairs chief, declared. Another Irving executive was equally blunt. We just ignored it because we don't think it can be done. Only government subsidies and mandates made ethanol competitive in the United States. ExxonMobil refused to enter subsidized businesses on principle, because the subsidies might not prove to be durable, and also on pragmatic grounds, because any subsidy known to benefit ExxonMobil would almost certainly fall to political assault. Nonetheless, ExxonMobil was routinely accused of biofuel denial and obstructionism. Cohen replied, "It's strange for some to want ExxonMobil to get into businesses that would require a government subsidy." Battery technology interested ExxonMobil's corporate strategists most of all. If there was one emerging energy technology that seemed to have the practical potential to disrupt the oil industry's assumptions about the transportation economy, this was it. "I always put batteries in the category of game changers," an ExxonMobil executive involved in the strategic technology review recalled. "The most important questions involved the potential for breakthroughs in the energy intensity of batteries, which referred to the ability of a car battery to store and release large amounts of power at a competitive cost." ExxonMobil's corporate planners had already concluded by 2007 and 2008 that gasoline hybrid vehicles, those that combined existing battery technology with a traditional combustion engine, would be very successful in the marketplace, although the growth of sales of these vehicles, they believed, would be gradual and would not threaten the fundamentals of the oil business in the United States or abroad. A more disruptive scenario might involve the rapid adoption of all-electric or plug-in cars. That was a focus of ExxonMobil's white paper research. "In the case of batteries, we felt we had to bring in some outsiders," the executive involved recalled, "and they spent a considerable amount, I'm talking many, many months, looking at this. Here's the technology, here's where they are, here's the likely breakthroughs or possible breakthroughs." ExxonMobil conducted its own in-house battery research in its chemicals division, and so it also employed scientists who were familiar with the core issues. The corporation also maintained research partnerships not only with Stanford and MIT, but with car manufacturers in Detroit and Japan. During the technology review, corporate planners reached out to all these sources to help study in depth the technical questions about a prospective battery revolution. The internal study's conclusion, the executive involved recalled, was that there is just nothing there. No pathways we see to cracking that code. The main obstacle was the cost of batteries as a storage device. Gasoline hybrids made a lot of sense, particularly when you combine batteries with combustion engines that could increase their fuel efficiency in the years ahead through improved engine designs. But the technology is just not there for a step up to a radical new transportation economy dominated by all electric vehicles, the study concluded. There might be some early adoption of all-electric plug-ins, particularly if the sale of such cars was encouraged by government subsidies. Hybrid growth would probably contribute to an overall 20% decline in oil use for transportation in the United States within 2 decades, but that reduction would be more than offset by growth in car and truck consumption in China and other developing countries. And so the net effect to ExxonMobil, as a global oil producer working in integrated markets, would be inconsequential. For the time being, the review found, ExxonMobil could rest easy. There would be adjustments ahead, but the gasoline and diesel industries were not about to be wiped out by a great leap forward in battery innovation. Rex Tillerson believed that transformational technological change would upend the oil business and global energy economy eventually. Breakthrough batteries might be the pathway, or breakthrough biofuels, or cheaper, more efficient solar technology, or some combination of those technologies, or perhaps something unimagined in the present. Not anytime soon, however. For 2 decades, and probably much longer, Tillerson's management committee concluded after its reviews were completed and digested in 2008, ExxonMobil could feel secure about its investments in oil and gas. The corporation nonetheless remained vulnerable to unexpected game-changing disruptions, its senior executives in Irving believed. In their view, however, the most likely strategic surprises would not involve technology. Geopolitics, by far, is the largest uncertainty in the entire world of energy, one of the executives involved in the strategic technology review said afterward. As the review wound down, events proved the point. By then, the most material and volatile facts in the global oil business arose not from alternative energy technology labs. They involved extortion rackets, kidnapping, and maritime piracy carried out by militia cult leaders in the swampy deltas of Nigeria. Here, too, ExxonMobil and the Bush administration struggled to align their interests and their influence.